Faces, old faces, young faces, friendly faces, happy faces, faces. I appreciate all the kind words that were said this morning. Appreciate that. That day, this day, every year is, I never know when it's going to happen, or I would call in sick that day, because that is the most uncomfortable thing for me to sit through. I'm just being honest. I appreciate it. I value your love and your support, but that is an uncomfortable thing to sit. I've never been one to be made over. Well, and I appreciate that, so thank you. Throw me a bone and I'll be good to go. Amen. Last week I preached on biblical boldness, and I think it was good. Not because of anything I said, but because of the feedback that I've gotten, because of what we saw at the altar. I think it was good. I think that we need to be encouraged, and I think we need to be challenged. But the flip side of all of that is that when we step out boldly for the things of God, when we step out of our comfort zone and begin to do things that really require a level of boldness, this morning, as a follow-up message to biblical boldness, I thought it would be good to look at what happens when those bold steps lead to challenges. What happens when those steps of bold, oh boy, Pastor, you encouraged me today, and I'm going to step out, and you just step out, and when you step out, there's nothing under you, and you face plant. And all of a sudden you're like, man, maybe I didn't hear right. Maybe I missed something. No, you didn't miss anything. Just get up and dust yourself off and let's go at it again. Amen. Sometimes when you take those bold steps, it's going to lead to challenges. There could even be some opposition in your way. Listen, how do we grow? We grow through opposition. What about feelings of weakness? In his weakness, I'm made strong. I want to look at several passages this morning. I promise not to be any longer than the Lord allows. You can interpret that ever how you want. But I want for us this morning to get an idea of what it is that could ever be a blessing in our brokenness. Anybody been broken? Anybody still broken? You're in a good place this morning. I want to speak to you about the blessing of brokenness. Father, more now than ever before, I need your help. I need your touch. I need your anointing. God, because this is a subject that touches the hearts of most everybody. In one way or another, we sit here and we do our best. Some sat in front of a mirror this morning and put on makeup and put on foundation and put on eyeliner and lip gloss and earrings and necklaces and hair things, and we shaved and we put on some cologne and we made sure that our clothes were pressed and creased and no wrinkles. We did our best to put the outside of us at least at ease. I've done everything I can to make myself presentable, but underneath all of that, there's brokenness. Underneath all of that, Lord, there are hearts that have been shattered. And Lord, you're the only one that can fix it. You're the only one. I refuse to pretend like I have the answer. I do not, other than Jesus Christ. But I pray today, God, that you would use this message to bring hope and healing to broken hearts, broken spirits. Lord, your word says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Help us today, help me today to communicate your word. Help your people to receive and allow you to apply the healing balm of Gilead to hearts that are broken, spirits that are broken, for your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're here this morning to be baptized when I give the altar call, that would be a good time. Unless you're in the altar, that would be a good time to go get ready to be baptized. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Going to read all the way down through verse 10. All the way. When you're there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's word. The only reason we stand is because it gets us closer to God. Amen. And we honor his word. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong." Father, in our weakness this morning, may you strengthen us and encourage us and make us to be the warriors that you have called us to be. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen,
amen.
And amen. You may be seated. This thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about, it was like Satan's message to Paul, but God had another message for him, and that was a message of grace. Paul prayed 3 times that this thorn would be removed, but every time that he prayed that prayer, God said, "Listen, my grace is sufficient for you." How many of you have ever thought that his grace wasn't enough in the moment? Amen. I need something more than grace. God, I need to be set free. But listen, at the end of the day, the grace of God is sufficient. In chapter 12 and verse 9, there's a verb, and the tense of the verb is an important thing for us to point out this morning, because what it's really saying is, "And he," God, "has once for all said to me." When God speaks to you, when God declares something to you, it's a once for all kind of a message. If you've been set free, you're set free. If your salvation, listen to me, if your salvation this morning has anything to do with your performance, you're in trouble. My salvation is based on his performance at the cross. And so It was a message of sufficient grace. God has given you and I enough grace to get us to heaven. He has given us grace to get through this life. There has never been and never will be a shortage of grace. And I think it was Hal Lindsey that made an acronym out of this, and it is this. Grace, as an acronym, is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about all that Christ has done for you and for me. And all because of His grace. God is sufficient, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. God is sufficient for our spiritual ministries. He can empower you. He can teach you. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Don't ever forget that. God's grace is sufficient for our spiritual ministries and for our material needs. We don't have the money for a building, but He does. It's not our problem. It's His problem. We're to be faithful with what He has given us. And as we're faithful with what He's given us, He will bring the increase. So He is faithful. He is sufficient in our material needs. You can look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, as well as our physical needs. His grace is sufficient, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. So if God's grace is sufficient to save us, then surely it is sufficient to keep us and to strengthen us in our time of suffering. Amen? So don't get weary. If God hasn't healed you, don't give up. Don't give up. He'll strengthen you in your time of suffering. In the Old Testament, for an example, I want to look at Psalm chapter 34, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Listen, I'm trying to encourage you this morning. There is a blessing in our brokenness. Nowhere in this psalm, if you went back and read the whole thing, does David ever suggest that the life of faith and obedience will exempt the child of God from trouble. In fact, in the New Testament, you'll find the very truth of God's Word says that the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus was persecuted. The disciples were persecuted. Paul the apostle was persecuted. Everybody that's done anything of value for the kingdom of God has suffered persecution. What would ever make us in modern day America think for a moment that we're not going to be persecuted? Look at what just happened a month ago to Charlie Kirk for his stance on the gospel, his stance on the wokeism and the culture that we find ourselves. He was making an impact, and persecution came and literally took him out. But in taking him out, all that has happened is it has exploded that whole drive. It has exploded. And Erica Kirk has taken her brokenness at the loss of her husband, and instead of wallowing in her brokenness, she let that brokenness catapult her into the very forefront of all that God wants to do, and the vision carries on, and the word carries on, and what they tried to silence has only handed them a megaphone. It has only exploded their footprint, if you will.
Worldwide.
It's amazing what is going on. Don't let your brokenness bench you. How many football players are playing broken? But they play. They play. He does promote, however, that if we trust Him and if we call on Him, then the Lord will and can and will see us through our trouble and make them a blessing to us and through us to others. Think about that for a moment. Verse 18 says that He also is able to help us with our feelings. The assurance is that God is near us when our hearts are broken and when our spirits are crushed, whether you feel like it or not. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Whithersoever you goest, there I am. I'm with you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Doesn't matter. Listen, your God's grace and God's mercy is not based upon your feelings. It's not based on how you feel about it. Well, if I feel good, God must be with me. No, He's with you. He is with you. You need to understand that. In fact, this is not a promise that carries with it conditions that are attached to it. It's a matter of fact. It's biblical fact. And we often wish that we could escape troubles. Amen? Whoa, I wish I could. We wish that we could escape troubles. We wish that we could escape the pain of grief or of loss or sorrow or failure or even the small daily frustrations that constantly wear us down. Anybody dealing with those little... You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. God promises to be close to the brokenhearted. That's a promise. He promises to be close to the brokenhearted. And He goes on to promise to be our source of power, our source of courage, our source of wisdom, and helping us through every problem that we may have. If we'll trust Him. Where's Bill at? I don't mean to discredit anything you said from up here, but if we're not getting our psychiatric help from God, we're in real trouble. I think that those doctors have a place, and I'm not discrediting them, but if we'll draw close to Him, He will take care of all of these things. He says that we're to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. If you're carrying more than you're supposed to be carrying, it's because you're not giving it to God. Amen. It's because you're not unloading your burdens onto Him. He says to do it. And we need to do it. He'll help us through all of these things. Sometimes He chooses to deliver us from those problems. Sometimes He chooses to deliver us from those problems. And when trouble strikes, don't get frustrated with God. Instead, admit that you need God's help and thank Him that He's there by your side all the time. He already knows you need the help. I'm not one to ask for much help. I get in trouble for it all the time. So if you see me struggling, don't wait for me to ask you to come help me, because I'm probably not going to. I'll figure out a way to make it happen. But we could all use some help. We could all use some help. Admit that we need God's help. Lord, I need Your help every day. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for all that You're going to do through me and all those kinds of things, but I'm about to get out of bed. I'm probably going to need you here. Close. Anybody besides me? Oh, Lord, I need you. Last week's sermon where biblical boldness, where the early church stood and courageously stood before the threats that were leveled against them. They stood courageously. Today we see how God can use even our brokenness for His glory. He wants to use that. He does. The believer, you and I, never need to faint in times of suffering or trial, because he knows that God is at work in the world. God is at work whether we think he is or not. If he's not doing it the way we think he ought to do it, doesn't mean he's not doing something. I go back in moments like this. I go back and I think about the walls of Jericho. That was the most ridiculous battle plan I ever heard of in all of my life. Just walk around. Don't say nothing. Just walk around it for 6 days. But on the seventh day, yeah, like we scared them so bad in the first six. But they were obedient. Even when it looked crazy, they were obedient. Step into the water. Just step into the water. My feet are going to get wet. Just step. And he stepped. The water just... They walked through on dry land. Faith. Take a step. Don't wait until we can always see what it is. God will use even your brokenness for his glory. God will use your brokenness for his glory. The believer never needs to faint in times of suffering and trial, because I know that God is at work in the world and that he has a perfect plan. He has a perfect plan. You can't add to it. God has two purposes in that plan: our good and his glory. Our good and his glory. Ultimately, he's going to make us be like Christ. And best of all, God's plan is going to succeed. Listen, at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether the way things are going looks like it or not, God's plan is going to succeed. Amen? I'll prove it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all good things work together for... At least somebody's paying attention. We know... Pardon me?
His purpose.
And we know that all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all things work together. How many of you have ever gone through something ugly, bad, all that, and you're wondering, how in the world could God ever get glory out of this, only to look back and see exactly where God did what he did, and you're like, what in the world? Because we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So who is the called? All y'all. All y'all. So it started in eternity past when he chose us in Christ. How many of you are glad today that he chose you in eternity past? How many of you are glad that he didn't choose you today, base his choice on you today, that before you ever showed up, he chose you, and it's not today, because maybe today we are not doing quite that good. You know what I'm saying? He predetermined that one day we will be like his son. Woo! Nowhere are we taught that God predestines people to be eternally condemned. God is not willing, according to his word, that any would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. Does that mean that everybody's going to be saved? No. Why? Because you have a choice to make. You have to choose. But I can tell you that it's not taught that God has predestined anybody to be eternally condemned. If we're condemned, it's because of our refusal to trust in Christ. It's our refusal to trust in the atonement that was made for you and I. It's our refusal to trust in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Amen. Those whom he chose, he called. When they respond to the call, he justifies us, and he also glorifies us. And because the Spirit's effort on our behalf are carried out in full agreement with God's will, everything that happens to us in this life is directed toward that goal. Everything that we do ought to be pushing somebody, ought to be showing somebody something of God, something of what God's done in my life and in your life. Whether you're selling fish and tackle, whether you're hauling logs, whether you're hauling chips, whether you're dealing with cows, doesn't matter what we're doing. We ought to be letting our light shine, even in the midst of our brokenness. And the crazy thing about broken things is light can't be contained in something that's broken. It just gets out. It just gets out. And it shines all over everywhere. What happens might not itself be qualified as good from your perspective. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God will cause everything to work together for the ultimate good of his children, to meet the ultimate purpose for you and I to mature. Maybe that rough patch you're going through is to grow you up. How many of you know people that are well past diapers and bottles, but they still ain't growed up? But you're not now. Because we've grown up. We got to grow up. When he calls us to be perfect, he's not saying flawless. That word perfect is maturity. We're to begin to mature. We're to begin to grow in things. So the point is this: God works all things for good, not all things work out. Did you hear what I said? God is working all things for good in that verse, but it's not saying that all things work out. That doesn't work that way. Suffering will still bring pain. I got marks all over my body that have brought me pain. But it's also taught me some things. I mean, you know, you need to be aware of your surroundings. Yeah. In the firefighter world and wildland firefighting, that's one of their favorite sayings. You got to have your head on a swivel. Which is true. You need to be looking around. You got to know where you're at. I forgot where I was at last week.
Where were you?
I was about 8 feet off the ground, standing on a catwalk on a 40-45 link belt shovel that was on my lowboy that I directed on there. And I climbed up and was helping the operator, who was one of the bosses, do some work up there, and he was having trouble. And so I noticed that he was struggling. I didn't wait for him to ask me. I just climbed up there and forgot where I was. And I was standing on a catwalk just like this, and I just stepped off. And about halfway down, I said this on Wednesday night. About halfway down, the thought went through my mind: I should be stopping any time. I should be slowing down. But I'm not. Until I did finally hit the ground. I was literally that far off the ground. It was bad. But you know what? Even in my... How do I say this nicely? Even in my miscalculation, God protected me, and I didn't get hurt. And I'm grateful for that. I'm walking good. I'm not hurting. I didn't bounce. Tell you, it's an amazing thing. Not all things work. They just don't work out. And suffering will bring pain. It'll even bring loss, and it can even bring sorrow. And sin will even bring shame. But under God's control, the eventual outcome will be for our good. Amen. It'll be for our good. Look at it this way. Boldness opens doors. Boldness may open doors, but brokenness allows God's power to shine through us. Hello? Our brokenness allows God's power to shine through us. In putting this together, I was reminded of a story of a grandpa that was trying to teach his grandson a lesson. And he said, "Listen, son, I want you to take this bucket, and I want you to go down to the creek, and I want you to get, fill the bucket, because I've got this barrel up here, and I want to fill this barrel full of water. And so take this bucket, go to the creek, and begin filling that bucket." So the little boy grabbed the bucket, and he went to the creek, dipped the bucket in the creek, and was walking back up. When he got back to the barrel, there was like that much water in the bucket. And so he poured it back in. He made another trip, and so now he's starting to observe what's going on. And this bucket has cracks and rusted out spots in it everywhere. And he's frustrated, and he's trying to hurry, and he's doing everything he can to get this barrel because he wants to please his grandpa. And so he's filling it, and he's hurrying up there, and finally he just gets frustrated, and he says, "Grandpa," he said, I can't fill this bucket because this thing is no good. It's leaking." And he said, "I want you to come back next week. We're going to work on it again." So the next week the little boy comes back, and the grandpa says, "Now before you get started," he said, "I want you to look around." He said, "Remember this path before?" The little boy says, "Yeah." He said, "Did it have all them flowers growing alongside of it? Were they all blooming? Were they all..." He said, no, they weren't, but they are now. He said, "So see, even in what you thought was bad, you've watered all these flowers and all this stuff, and it's all growing. So don't let what might not look like it's being efficient to you, when stuff's oozing out of you, you might not know the effect of it immediately, but if you'll just continue to let His light shine through you, your brokenness will allow the power of God to shine through your life." Amen. The reality is this. Even a cracked pot can hold water. It just leaks out. It just leaks out. And remember this. God does not waste your broken pieces. God doesn't waste your broken pieces. I was wishing that I could come up with a what's it called? No, a whole bunch of broken things that they glued together and make it look something else. A mosaic. Who said that? Yes, ma'am. I was looking for one of those, but I don't have one. And I didn't want to ask anybody else for one because I was afraid I'd let the cat out of the bag. You know what I'm saying? So how many of you have seen a mosaic? A whole bunch of just broken up pieces of tile or whatever, but when they're all reassembled into something that looks nice, it all of a sudden those broken pieces create something of beauty. That was my whole point. That would be this congregation. That would be this congregation. A whole bunch of broken pieces that God has put back together and made this out of it. Your cracks, your struggles, your weaknesses, those things are the very channels that He uses to pour out His strength, pour out His blessing, and pour out His glory. Just because you're broken does not mean you're not valuable. Boldness is what has brought you to this place. You stepped out of your comfort zone. You did something you maybe didn't think you had the wherewithal to do. Boldness brought you to this place, but surrendering your brokenness to God allows His power to shine through you. He wants you to be a magnifier of His light. So step forward in courage and lean into Him in your weakness and watch how God turns what seems to be broken into something that is beautiful, that blesses not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. All those flowers and all the shrubs and everything along the pathway where that little boy was carrying that bucket that was leaking water all over, and he thought he was just wasting his time, but no, it brought life and nourishment to all those flowers, to all those plants. Because whether you know it or not, God is working behind the scenes. He's ensuring that even in the middle of your mistake, even in the midst of your tragedies, good will result for those who love Him. Because He loves you. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And at times, it'll happen quick. Sometimes it's almost like instant gratification. Sometimes it happens quickly. Often enough to help us to trust in the principle. But there will also be events where the results for good we will not know until eternity. There are going to be seeds that you'll sow that you won't see it produce a crop until way long time in eternity, and somebody walks up to you and says, "Hey, thanks. Thanks." Our ultimate destiny is to be Christ-like, to be imitators of Jesus Christ, to live our life for the glory of God. God's design is more than just an invitation. More than just an invitation. He has summoned you with a purpose in mind. We are to be agents of reconciliation. We're to reconcile a lost and dying world to a King and a Savior that died for you and died for them. Our ultimate destiny is to be like Christ. He has a purpose. Jesus' answer to Paul's prayer is the theme, really, of all of 2 Corinthians. Christ's gracious favor is what empowered Paul's ministry, despite all of his own inadequacies and failures. I've been doing a lot of studying, and what I find is that when you really get down to the bottom line, Paul was probably one of the most brilliant minds to ever walk this planet. He not only sat under Gamaliel, one of the greatest, most profound teachers of the culture, but he also sat under the Greek side of things, which was paid for because he come from a family of prestige. And so he had all of the greatest teaching, and Paul was a studier. Paul was a sponge when it came to wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and He is probably one of the sharpest minds to ever walk this earth. And even though his request wasn't granted, Jesus assured him that he would continue to work through Paul and his weakness. Aren't you glad that Paul never gave up? Yep. Look at what we would not have if he had given up. We wouldn't have 2/3 of our New Testament. But Paul was diligent. Christ's power, in fact, works best through your weakness. You know why? Because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You got to have somebody come along beside of you, gird you up, encourage you, say you can do it. We all need that person that comes along behind us and says, listen, I've got your back. And sometimes they just will put their hand on your back and just push, shove just a little bit. Let me just help you. You can do this. Maybe they give you a thought. Maybe they give you some little something that will encourage you. John, you and Kathy can come. Christ's power works best through weakness. And in response to all of that, Paul accepted that Jesus, in all of his wisdom, in his divine wisdom, Christ knew, and Paul accepted that he knew what was best for him. Can I just submit to you this morning that he knows what's best for you? He knows what's best for you. Paul would not be able to boast in being healed, but he would boast about his weakness. It was through his weakness, it was through his brokenness, that Christ could powerfully work through him. Through his brokenness. Listen. Go boldly. Go boldly. Don't fear your cracks. Don't allow your brokenness to sideline you. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Yes, you can. Sure, you can. Don't fear your cracks. God's power flows the strongest through the places you think are broken. Don't let the enemy disqualify you because you got some paint missing. You might have some chips knocked off of you. You might even limp a little bit. Don't let that keep you out of the game. Don't let that sideline you. Go boldly. Don't fear your cracks. God's power flows strongest through the places you think are broken. Your weakness is his stage. Your weakness is his stage. Your struggle is his story. And your life can truly become a masterpiece in his hands. He is the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy way. You're the potter. Listen, you don't have to have it all together. You do not have to have it all together to be used by God. You don't have to have it all together to be a part of the family. You don't have to have it all together to serve in his army. But you do need to stay in his presence. You do need to stay in his presence. You need to figure out how to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You need to learn how to pray and read God's word and seek God's face. And regardless of how you feel, regardless of how broken you feel, step out. You go and you do what God's called you to do. He'll bless you for it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am broken. Really broken. Maybe no one's ever told you what I've told you this morning, that your brokenness can be healed, that your pain can be set free. Maybe no one's ever told you that there was a man that died for you and for your brokenness, that he went to a cross, that he shed his blood, that you would be forgiven and redeemed, that he valued you so much, even in your brokenness, that our God sent his Son to a cross. The most vile, the most vicious, the most cruel form of execution that they could come up with was crucifixion. And yet Christ endured that for you and for me. So I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask you to pray for that person on your right and on your left. You don't know how they might be broken. You don't know that maybe they've never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but today might be their day. I'm believing that it is. I'm praying today that God sets some people free, that God brings salvation. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever accepted you as my Lord and Savior. I've gone to church, maybe. Pretty much I'm a good person. Good people, on their own merit, will never make heaven their home. The only qualifier to make heaven is to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, it was called being born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, how in the world can a man be born again when he's old? Jesus explained to him, it's not about a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And today, if you'll acknowledge that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're lost and undone. You need him today. He'll meet you at the point of your need. He will redeem you. You've not been too bad. Don't let the devil lie to you. You've been too bad. No, you have not. No, you have not. All he's waiting for is for you to acknowledge you need Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying, nobody's looking around, let me ask you this question. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but today you really feel the Spirit of the Lord is tugging on your heart, and today you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Pastor, I have never accepted Jesus before, but I want to today. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. Maybe you're here today, and at some point in your life you did accept the Lord, but something happened and you ended up broken, and in your brokenness you thought that meant that you were disqualified. And today you find yourself away from God, but you sense him drawing you. You say, Pastor, today I'd really like to just rededicate and recommit my life to Jesus, just to be sure. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Say, Preacher, that's me. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. Are you here? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You can put your hands down. I see them. God sees them, most importantly. I feel like there's a couple of you today that are holding off. You know you ought to raise your hand, but goodness, what would people think? Who cares what people think? What does God think? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. If that's you today, God's wanting you to respond right now. Raise your hand. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. I can tell you right now that God's proud of you. Every hand that's went up, God is proud of you. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. Get out of your chair and come to this altar and let me pray with you right now. Come on. Come on. Don't even wait. Come on. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
Change
come on.
My heart.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Change my heart.
Come on.
Oh God.
Come on. Get up here. Come on.
May I be like you.
Father God, what you're doing, Lord. What you're doing, Lord. What you're doing, Lord. Hey, would you guys just pray with me right now? Pray this prayer. Say, dear Lord, I thank you that you love me enough,
even in my brokenness,
to go to the cross
and
redeem me, to purchase me, to restore me, maybe even to leave me in some of the shape I'm in, but yet still use me for your glory. Help us, Lord, to recognize that you love me, and no devil in hell is ever going to convince me